Sisters, please rise for God's greeting tonight. It's a greeting that comes to us from Revelation chapter 1. God says to you, his people, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And all God's people said, amen. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Verse 1, 4, 5, and 6 of number 328. Meditations this evening are from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With his breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Cilicia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will lay hands on Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that men can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. Brothers and sisters in Christ, often during this time of year, we are reminded of some of the biblical names of our long-promised Messiah. Some of his more well-known names are found here in the book of Isaiah, back in a place like chapter 9, where we are told, as we heard a number of weeks back, on how this Messiah to be born. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it tells us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those are often the names we think about. For this evening, we focus here on chapter 11 of Isaiah and the name of this long-expected Messiah as revealed for us in this chapter. Verse 1, we read, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." And then in verse 10, we read, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." The name. He will be a branch. He will be the root of Jesse. But this one who was to come, this branch, this root, these are names of hopefulness for God's people that were declared to Judah by the prophet Isaiah. Because what had Isaiah been telling his people? We've been hearing that in our series through the book of Isaiah. He had been telling them of a coming desolation at the hands of the Assyrian Empire, an earthly agent of God's judgment against the people for their proud and stubborn wickedness and idolatry and faithlessness. In fact, the desolation that God would send upon his people would be so thorough that in this image that's presented to us here this evening by Isaiah, the only thing remaining is a stump, a root. The tree that's been cut down, a symbolic landscape alluded to even earlier by Isaiah when he spoke a word of judgment against Assyria, declaring in Isaiah 10, verse 19, that the remaining trees of his forest will be so few that a child could write them down. And the judgment coming for Isaiah, or for Assyria in Isaiah's day, this judgment that will be unleashed against Assyria is a judgment that even in the time of Isaiah was even now being unleashed against Israel and Judah, so much so that the wealth of their lands and their natural resources were cut down and stripped bare. As if the people themselves were cut down and stripped bare, with very little of them left to show for it. There would be a remnant. We heard that last Sunday evening. But the thing about stumps and roots is that though the top, the bush, the tree might be cut down, there can still be life remaining so that a new bush, a new tree might grow up from it. While growing up in Coopersville, there was a box elder tree that was growing on the corner of our garage. A tree, eventually it needed to be cut down because it was beginning to do damage to the garage and to its footings. And so we cut it low to the ground with only a small stump sticking up. But I must tell you, that box elder tree was as stubborn could be. For though we cut it down, it kept finding a way to sprout new shoots, which turned into a new trunk and new branches, and it grew up again in that exact same spot. And though we cut it down again, a few years later on, it managed to grow up again. And another box elder sprouted up where we said it should have been dead. Because life that was found in the roots made that tree to grow again. And this then is the message of hope that Isaiah brings to God's people. Doing so through this name that this future Messiah will be known by. The branch that grows from the roots. A shoot from the stump of Jesse. In fact, the very root of Jesse himself. For the life from which this future Messiah would spring forth was not a life apart from himself. No, the life from which this future hope of Israel would spring from was his own self. He was this life. He was this root, which is still alive. And so it would be from the Messiah that God's people would have a future. Not from any other person. For no other person could provide the nourishment, could be the life that the hope of Israel needed. All other persons would be inadequate, woefully lacking. For all other persons would be like the weak people of Israel and of Judah, who though given multiple opportunities by God to thrive in holiness and in righteousness, instead they saw themselves what fall deeper and deeper into sin's darkness and lostness and the deadness that it brings. Instead, the hope of Israel would come from Israel, springing forth from the promises that God had made to the line of David, that a one would arise from him, this king who would rule over the nations, a kingdom that would have no end. And so this one to come would be from the line of Jesse, David's father. But he would be special. He would be wonderful because he would have the Spirit of God upon him. And all that he does, verse 2 into verse 3, we read this, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. This name one here in Isaiah 11 will be someone new, someone refreshing, unlike any who had come before him in the line of David or of Jesse. Because what all of David's lineage lacked, this future Messiah king will not lack, because the Spirit of God will be interwoven with him. He will rest upon him, verse 2 began. All the qualities that you hope for, you want in a godly king, this one will have it. He will have them. Wisdom and understanding, good counsel, power, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. In fact, we're told here, he's going to delight in the Lord. He's not just going to have it. He is going to be overwhelmingly thrilled and rejoicing that he has it every single day. And he's going to be happy that he gets to continue in it. And this doesn't describe you or I, Christian. Now, we have our moments where because of the Holy Spirit within us who abides within you as a believer, we have our moments where we delight in such things, we delight in the fear of the Lord. But such a thing won't characterize our every moment, waking or sleep. But this named one who is to come, it will characterize his life, which is why he is this long-promised Savior whom we need, who left his heavenly throne and his heavenly crown to come to earth, to be our life and our future. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, he is that I am, as we just heard. So many beautiful names ascribed to our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what will the character of that coming one be like, according to Isaiah chapter 11? We heard a little bit ago that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him so that his life will be characterized by wisdom and understanding, by good counsel and great power, by true knowledge and the fear of the Lord. But there's even more, which gives us as his people a word of hope. One of our weaknesses, of course, we know in ourselves and why we need hope is we can too quickly be taken in by appearances, of making even reflexive sort of decisions. It's one of the things that retailers hope for. They seek to lure us in as consumers this time of year, maybe through an impulse buy, something we really don't need, but in the moment, it seems worthwhile, it seems good. Maybe even you did some impulse buying a few weeks back, a Black Friday sale, Cyber Monday sale, perhaps a Small Business Saturday sale event. We can be suckers for sales. Why pass up a bargain, even if we don't really need it? It's a bargain, and no doubt we'll be able to make use of it eventually, or we'll be able to gift it to someone eventually. Or maybe we also jump quickly to conclusions and decisions in other ways. Maybe we hear something negative about an individual we're not a fan of. Right away, what is our default position? It's to believe it. We figure, well, they've already gone low enough in life to have done it, and it sounds credible, so they're most likely guilty of it. That happens in our politics, our sports opponents, the competition that's down the road, or that churchgoer who goes to the same church as we do. We heard about it. It seems pretty much like something that they would do, so it must be true. Or there's at least something to it. And so in many ways, that reveals a weakness in our character, how quickly we can jump to a decision, a conclusion. But what is the character of this Messiah going to be like? This root of Jesse, who we heard a bit about just a moment ago, who delights in the fear of the Lord. We hear here in Isaiah chapter 11 that he won't judge merely on what the eyes have seen or the ears have heard very quickly, perhaps about so-and-so. He will not make an impulse decision about a person. Instead, he will judge with righteousness, and he will know what has actually happened and what has truly been said. Those innocent of wrongdoing won't suffer loss. The wicked, they will get their just reward. Verse 3 and following, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Don't you hate it when someone thinks that they have you all figured out, even though they've just pretty much met you, how you can tell you've already been judged by them, but they don't know your background, they don't know your family situation, they simply don't know you, and yet you might already be canceled by them, or maybe even by the culture. But Jesus, in his character, we hear here this evening, is not like that, because he has a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, of sound counsel and of true knowledge, which means that he knows these situations of life better than somebody else does. Why, he even knows you and he knows me better than we know ourselves. Where too easily we can even lie to ourselves and we can let ourselves off the hook, but this branch, this root of Jesse, he can't be fooled. He can't be tricked. He will not jump to hasty conclusions, but he will extensively know about your life, every single person's life, which means he's trustworthy. He can't be corrupted. We saw Sunday morning, a few Sundays back, with Samuel's sons and their positions as judges and how they became corrupted in the judging of the people. They were beguiled by wealth and by bribes, by prestige and by worldly acclaim. And so they became corrupted in their dealings. Not so the Messiah, which is particularly good news for those who are on the end, the receiving end of injustices, who do not have the power or the prestige, who don't have the wealth to shift the levers of justice in their favor, something that is so common throughout human history. Where the golden rule has more often than not meant that those who have the gold make the rules. But the Messiah is not like that. He will not be like that. For while rulers and government officials often promise people the moon, and that finally, under their leadership, the wrongs will be righted, thoughtful justice, true justice will be accomplished, we know that in the end, the results are a mixed bag at best. There are some successes and there are some glaring failures. No more. Because Jesus will prove to all that he will truly accomplish the most astonishing transformation of this world under his judgeship, under his kingly rule, as the one who comes to us from the line of Jesse, of Jesse's David. Yes, even though he himself was mistreated, even though he was abused, even though he was on the receiving end of great injustice, in fact, the greatest injustice of cruelty that this world has ever dished out, that Jesus was on the receiving end of that, which brought him to Calvary's cross. And yet, while great injustices were done to him, perfect righteousness and faithfulness to the ways of God will be applied by him to the greatest and to the least alike. That is his character. And he will be the ruler and the judge that this world has always needed. And at last, in Jesus Christ, has received. Thanks be to God. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, next Lord's Day evening on Christmas night, our last worship service of the year here in Beaver Dam, we hope to come to the table of our Lord and take the Lord's Supper together as the body of Christ to help better prepare ourselves for our time together at that sacred meal. It is good and right for us to examine our lives as we relate to our God, as well as how we relate to one another as fellow members of Christ's church. Have we put our confidence, our only confidence in Christ and in Him alone for our salvation? We just heard the chorus sing how Jesus came down from His glory in heaven above, born in a manger, born into a world of sorrows and tears and agony. It was not only the sin of others in this world that brought Jesus into it, but it was my sin. It was your sin, beloved. Do you truly believe that Jesus came down from His glory in order to go to the cross to save you from your sin? And that God so loved you that this was the only way to satisfy His justice while also extending to you mercy and forgiveness? But secondly, have we also loved our fellow Christians? And importantly for us here this week, have we loved fellow members of Beaver Dam Christian Reformed Church? Is there anything that is presently keeping you from having fellowship with another member of Christ's church here, where maybe you find yourself intentionally walking in the other direction, avoiding eye contact in order to not have to speak with such a fellow member here at Beaver Dam? If so, take this week as we finish out this year of 2022 to make things right, as far as you are able. If there is forgiveness that you need to extend forgiveness. If there is a difficult conversation you need to have that difficult conversation. And through it all, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to restore peace where presently there is no peace. For Jesus Christ came into the world to establish peace between God and men, but also to establish peace between fellow members of the family of God. We don't have to wait to eternity to have peace with our God and with one another. We can even now live into that peace which Jesus Christ brings. And we ought to, for the sake of our own walk with God and for the sake of our witness to one another and to our world. So may we prepare ourselves well this week with the help of our God so that we might come to the table of our Lord next week, Sunday evening, with hopefulness, with joy, and with peace. So what becomes of this world with this root of Jesse governing and judging? This is actually where Isaiah chapter 11 becomes so amazing, Christian, because it points us forward to a world that is one part familiar, and we could say two parts fantastical. And it happens because of this root of Jesse who brings life once again to this world and to God's people, who earlier left His heavenly throne to come to earth, but now has been seated on that heavenly throne, and even now at this very moment is ruling over all things. And one day He will come again in fullness to rule in power and in might, so that this little baby born in Bethlehem in the town of David is now the eternal King who is to be adored. Yes, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. But do you remember the kind of world that Isaiah chapter 11 tells us this evening, the type of world that He will usher in? Because it flips all the National Geographic and the BBC Earth Nature shows on their head. What did we read starting with verse 6? The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. We read those words and we say, these are natural enemies. These are predators with their prey. Meat eaters who tear off the flesh of their prey while their prey is still alive in this world of ours. It's so violent, it's so disturbing that videos of such things on social media oftentimes have a disclaimer that you have to click through in order to watch it. Warning, content is disturbing and not fit for younger viewers, it reads. You know what isn't fit for younger viewers, congregation? This world that we live in. So much of this world is simply unfit for the sustaining of healthy living. It's not just even the brutality of the natural animal world. It's the brutality of man against man. And not just physical violence. There's plenty of spiritual violence, emotional violence, relational violence, sexual violence, mental violence. And sin has introduced all of this conflict, this turmoil, into our world and into our relationships one with another. Even of these living creatures that we hear before us tonight. All things that keep parents lying awake at night in concern and worry even for their children and the type of world that they're growing up into. But do you see what this root of Jesse is going to bring about? Even with children. Children are mentioned here. Infants. They're going to be able to play near a viper's nest, a cobra's hole. With no concern of being bitten and dying from a poisonous bite. Brothers and sisters, King Jesus, who reigns, will be wholesale adjusting the very laws of nature and the ecosystems of this world. I realize there are those who are greatly concerned about man-made global warming. Again, understanding, saying that we as people have a large part to play in the environmental destruction of this world that we live in. But then I come to Isaiah 11, and there I see real power to change the world that we live in. And not through the actions of billions of people collectively, but through the decisions of one great Davidic king, King Jesus. To change this world with its ecosystems and its laws of nature and to change it for the better. Because he's going to take away all the parts of this present fallen world that seek to harm and molest, and he will replace it with a world, with a creation, with an order that will only bless, and it will create peace. And the divisions of this world that we see around us and we hear so often in the news, and the racial strife and the economic haves versus have-nots, and the more educated versus the less educated, and the Russians against the Ukrainians, the North Koreans against the South Koreans, the Chinese against the Americans, the Turks against the Greeks, all such hatreds, divisions will be no more. Instead, those settled upon a new earth will be rallied around Jesus. In fact, Jesus is going to be the only one who brings people together in that day. Verse 10 and following, we read that in that day, powerful phrase, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. And you read that and you say, this is the undoing of the Tower of Babel, wouldn't you say? Where God confused the people by sending different languages upon them so that what they had to divide, they had to move apart, they had to separate themselves one from another. Now we see a gathering in. But the difference between the Tower of Babel and what we see here in Isaiah chapter 11 is that while the people believed at the Tower of Babel, they believed in their own greatness and how if they would join together, they create a name for themselves and do great and wondrous and marvelous things in this world and that they could stick together and do this together. In Isaiah chapter 11, it takes the greatness of this Messiah to be the rallying point. The banner for the peoples upon which then great things are done in this world and wrongs are righted and brutalities are instead brought to be blessings instead. And God's people, they will prosper in that day. They will be blessed. Old divisions between God's people, God's old covenant people are going to come to an end. The divisions between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, between the northern kingdom of Israel and that of southern of Judah, which had broken apart into disagreements and quarrels and frustrations, they will be joined together again on that day. And those nations surrounding God's old covenant people who had menaced the tribes of Israel, things are going to be changed, and they're going to be changed for the better for God's people in that day. Verse 13 and 14, Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will lay hands on Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. You see, these will be the results, congregation. This is that long hoped for utopian vision and dream that so many have had over the centuries and the millennia, but which only King Jesus can accomplish. The angels, when they appeared to the shepherds out in the field on that evening, on that first Christmas evening, they foretold of this coming age, didn't they? What did they declare to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men upon whom his favor rests. Think of that, peace on earth. Something that's often longed for, but never achievable in this present world that we live in. But Jesus will accomplish it as he gathers all of his people who are scattered throughout the nations. He gathers them in, Jews and Gentiles alike. Why, not even the great and mighty Euphrates River will keep God's people scattered. In those lands, Jesus is going to undo the captivity of his people so that nothing will be left to keep them there, to keep you and I from gathering together around his holy throne. That all of God's people will be brought together as a family of God. Verse 15 and 16, the Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with a scorching wind. He will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that men can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. And of this vision, we say, well, didn't I tell you this would be one part familiar, two parts fantastical? How Jesus, the Messiah, will take all of the warm and familiar elements of this world that we love, that fascinate us, and he's going to strip away all of the corrupting sin with its effects. And he is going to replace it with a world that is too wonderful to even do justice to in our dreams. And he gives to us a world that he always intended. A world he wanted us as his dearly loved ones to live in and to enjoy, to have. to worship him and to glorify him and to adore him throughout the ages. What more could you wish for, Christian? What more could you dream about during this season of dreams and of wishes? Yes, come let us adore him. For truly he is worthy of that adoration. Yes, behold our God. He is Christ the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
And now, brothers and sisters, please rise for God's parting blessing. As the Lord speaks this peace to you with these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God says to you, now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.